faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky,
it's a bird,
it's a plane,
it's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Joe Gradensky.
And you're listening to The Saturday Morning Superman Show. The Saturday Morning Superman Show is a podcast about Superman in animation across generations. Welcome back, everyone, to another very exciting and rousing episode of The Saturday Morning Superman Show. I am joined by my good friend, my good collaborator, and a recurring guest, Joe Gradensky of Universal Monsters Universe, who is also the co-host of season 3 of Saturday Morning Superman Show. But since we haven't aired that just yet, we'll say he's the soon-to-be host of the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Joe, welcome back to the show. It's so unique in how we record this, because I'm now speaking to you as if we've never done an episode other than our Thanksgiving one before, yet I have to make acknowledgement of the fact that we spent all of summer 2020 recording season 3.
Yes, we have. This is the first, type of episode since Thanksgiving, so it's good to be back.
No, it's really good to have you back, Joe. We've all had so much going on throughout last year and even this year. Both, I think, for everybody that's listening, they're already well aware of what Universal Monsters Universe is. But for anybody that's new to the show, Joe and I are both from Universal Monsters Universe. We're both the co-founders of the webpage and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr social media channels. We've been doing it for 5 years. Just last month was the 5th year Monsterversary of our pages, and we celebrated that. And really, you know, at one point from last year to really up until last month, it's just been like all hands on deck. So Saturday Morning Superman Show had to take a temporary pause, but that's one of the reasons why I'm so grateful that Justin and I recorded old episodes that we did back in summer 2019. But Joe, it's really good to be recording with you for two reasons. I'll say this. So as you know, the Saturday Morning Superman Show has been back for a few weeks. While we haven't started season 2 at the mid-season yet, where we take over for Famous Studios as they've taken over for Fleischer Studios, the Saturday Morning Superman Show returns Saturday, March 13th. That'll be this Saturday coming up, 1 week actually ahead of Superman the Animated Series hitting HBO Max and Zack Snyder's Justice League hitting HBO Max as well. So there's a lot of exciting Superman things going on. But for those that have been waiting for the return of this show, you'll know that we've actually recorded quite a few episodes talking about Sasha Kaye's casting as Supergirl for the Flash movie, for the upcoming news regarding Ta-Nehisi Coates and J.J. Abrams for the Superman reboot film, and then also Justin and I have been covering Superman and Lois. And so, Joe, I actually just, I feel like there's so much happening in the world of Superman now. And as like a precursor to you joining the show in season 3 as the new co-host, I just wanted to hear a little bit about your Superman fandom, how you've been enjoying Superman and Lois. I know you've been watching it as well. And your thoughts on Zack Snyder's Justice League. If you're excited for it, you know, if there's anything in particular that you're looking forward to, I'd love for you to take it away.
So, you know, Superman, I've always been a Superman fan from an early age. You know, we had the Lois and Clark episodes with Dean Cain. So I remember them as a kid. And just, you know, Superman, you know, he's a superhero. He was everywhere. I do remember having the figures from, they did a line of Superman figures, and one of them had the black costume with the silver S. I forgot what weapon he came with, but they didn't move very much, but they were pretty cool. And of course, like every kid, you know, when you're a superhero, you put the towel or whatever as a cape, because that's what Superman did. You know, Superman, but, you know, fast forwarding now to me being an adult, you know, during quarantine, I binge watched the entire animated series again, the Justice League animated. And now I'm watching Superman and Lois, which is great. It's a really good show. I love the twist on Clark, they focus more on Clark Kent as the everyman rather than the Superman. like it shows up because he's Superman, like he's not immune to, you know, family issues and world issues as Clark Kent.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. And so it's interesting because while people, while we've yet to air season three yet of the Saturday Morning Superman show, I remember quite vividly that while we were recording season three of the Saturday Morning Superman show, which was done in summer 2020, Superman and Lois didn't premiere yet. We didn't really have any information on it other than that they would be in Smallville, that him and Lois would be married and they'd have twins. And so I remember we spoke about our ideas on and our hopes, of course, really just what we were hoping the show would turn out to be. So it's interesting that we're doing this episode now, as we've already seen the first two episodes, the pilot episode and the episode Heritage. And then now, in a few short months, when season three begins and people listen to it, it'll be like, oh, wait a second. Like, when they were recording this, it hadn't started yet. So I feel like sometimes, if anything, the Saturday Morning Superman show could be a little disjointed time-wise. But I'm glad that you've been enjoying the show because I've been loving it since the pilot episode, even to last week. I think it's great.
It is definitely. And going back to what you said about Justice League, I am looking forward to the Snyder Cut more than to see like what could have been, because like Zack Snyder started it, but then he had to leave. I think it was like a sickness or illness. I know something happened personally that he had to leave midway.
Yes. Yeah. No. Unfortunately, his daughter passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes, I remember. But now to see that finally come out, to see like what could have been in the theaters. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, me too. And so I want to actually point out when Justice League came out, the theatrical version in November 2017, it was you, me, my mom, and my dad. We went to go see that in IMAX. And Justice League is an interesting film, especially for me, because it's a movie that I could easily sit down and watch, and I like what I'm seeing as I'm watching it. But then immediately once it's over, my mind is immediately taken back to like all the different areas of it that just weren't fulfilled, where it's just, okay, there's plot points in Batman versus Superman with the gravel raising from the casket, and there's elements of Lex Luthor, you know, communicating with Steppenwolf and Darkseid. And there's so many areas that just they're not picked up on. I think namely the nightmare sequence. So I feel like for people that are detractors of elements of Batman versus Superman, the theatrical cut of Justice League only amplifies that, because there's then so many other areas where then it's really like, well, where does this connect to anything else? And so I think ultimately Zack Snyder's Justice League, for people that are looking forward to it, or people that are just not really that excited about it, like we are, like I am, I think at least spiritually in a lot of ways, the story will connect. So from Man of Steel to Batman versus Superman to this, you're going to have that connective thread where it feels like a complete installment to this unofficial Superman trilogy of sorts. But we have that coming up real soon. That comes out on March 18th. So it's a big moment. So if you're an HBO Max subscriber, you have a lot to look forward to with the Superman animated series being remastered and premiering the day before Zack Snyder's Justice League. And for those that don't have HBO Max yet, but you're listening to the show, well, come on, there's so much Superman content that's going to be going to HBO Max soon. So like, what are you waiting on? But I actually wanted to bring up some interesting news that only just came out a few days ago regarding Superman and Lois. And this was reported first on Deadline. It was reported by Peter White on March 5th. And it said, Superman and Lois temporarily moves off the CW schedule due to previous COVID-19 pause. Supergirl flies in to help. Have you heard about that headline yet?
No, wow. I know I've heard the headline. No, I'm not sure what it is. They already renewed it.
Yes. Yeah, they did renew it immediately after the pilot episode, which is wonderful.
Yeah, but I did not hear of the whole gap with COVID and Supergirl.
Okay, so for those listening, one of the things that I've been enjoying doing on the last few episodes is if there's Superman news or if there's news of any excitement or relevance, I like to actually read the article. Again, this is from Peter White on Deadline. It was reported on March 5th. And so the article reads, "The CW's Superman Lois is coming off the CW schedule temporarily after being impacted by COVID-19. The show will take a break after its fifth episode and will return for new episodes and to finish up the season on May 18th. Meanwhile, Supergirl will premiere its sixth and final season on Tuesday, March 30th in that same time slot. Superman and Lois, which films in British Columbia and Canada, has been previously impacted by a positive test and shut down production temporarily. As a result of the schedule change, the CW will now air People Presents Harry and Meghan's American Dream on Thursday, March 25th at 8 p.m. So I do want to actually make acknowledgement of that I think this is almost sort of bittersweet because Superman and Lois has been so good and so entertaining, but to know that it's going to take a temporary hiatus after the fifth episode and that we're going to have to wait until May, it seems like a bit of a wait, but from March 30th to May 18th, that's actually not that long of a wait. And also, for anybody that loves Superman, while we won't be getting Superman and Lois, we will have the fifth and the sixth and final season of Supergirl taking its place, so that's not too bad either.
No, it still fills that gap of super fans.
Oh, totally, yeah. And in regards to Superman and Lois, I know you've seen both episodes. I'd love to get your ideas on Superman and Lois from the pilot episode to Heritage, especially in regards to the fact that over last year, you reinvigorated your interest and you reimmersed yourself in the world of DC animation. So the world of Superman, from Superman to Lois to the villains to that particular section of mythology for DC Comics, is very fresh in your mind. So I'd love to hear about what you thought of the first two episodes, and primarily if having rewatched Superman the Animated Series, if that's influenced your perception on Superman in the way that he's presented, and if you like Tyler Hoechlin or not.
I do like Tyler Hoechlin. I liked him when he did his guest stars on the Arrowverse, you know, the other Arrowverse shows, like the crossovers and all. So he was very good as Superman. I love how they, you know, spoiler alert, they premiere him in the Fleischer costume.
Oh, how cool was that, Joe? I mean, so it's funny because so on Tuesday nights, we do a little thing called It's Alive, an Instagram live show on Universal Monsters Universe on Instagram. And so we had a wonderful episode with the guest Julia Forey. Joe, you were watching, I was hosting, and what happened at the very end of that, but Superman and Lois premiered, and I was so grateful that as soon as I finished, I was able to run on, check it out, and of course, the very first thing that I see is him recreating Action Comics number one, but in the Fleischer suit. Joe, wasn't that so cool?
That was really cool. That was a great touch. I was not expecting.
Oh, I know. I know. Don't you kind of wish we could get a little bit more of him in the Fleischer suit?
Kind of, but now that we're kind of into it, and now it's like, it's modern day now, so like, I feel like it'd be out of place a little bit. It would be like a shameless like plug.
Yeah, it definitely would be, unless maybe his suit gets like extremely damaged in a fight. With like Captain Luther, and he needs to like get like, you know, an old suit back. But yeah, I think one of the things that's so cool about Superman and Lois is that it is highly reverent of the mythology of Superman, from animation to live action to the comic books. Yet it's wildly inspired in the fact that you're being presented with a Superman story that's never been told before. I mean, in Superman and Lois, he has the child at the end, but it's a story unfulfilled. You never find out anything else about that. And only more recently in DC Comics does Superman Lois have a child, and it's Jonathan Kent. But seeing Superman like this in live action is something we've never seen before, and I think it's wonderful. But going back to my other question, Joe, has the animated series influenced you in regards to how you perceive the depiction of Superman, specifically through Tyler Hoechlin?
I definitely will say this, like, the Superman animated series, I love it, But I like the Tyler Hoechlin one because it's more grounded in reality. It's not like, you know, like the 90s cartoons where it was like a 30-minute PSA, basically, or like it was like very Brady Bunch that, you know, everything wound up happy in the end, everyone smiles, and, you know, the world is saved. Like with this one, I like the fact that, like, as again, like that he's an everyman. Like, you know, the planet gets taken over by some mega corporation. You know, his parents die. He's forced to confront the fact that, you know, he's mortal in a sense in that way. And, you know, Lois quits. They have to move the farm. You know, they have two sons. Like, one son's the popular one. The other's withdrawn. So I love the fact that they made Clark Kent, or Superman, they made him, you know, a real person in a sense.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And it's interesting because, like you said, like that in the way that Clark Kent is now, that, you know, he's a father, he's a husband. It's another angle to who Superman is that I feel like initially at first, I wasn't really totally for seeing Superman with children. I never minded him being in a relationship or him being married, but him having kids is something that I never really thought I'd appreciate. But seeing it now and the way that they're presenting it, I think it's great.
Yeah, and again, it's very timely, again, because, like, you know, Smallville's dying. You know, people are going out of business, you know, the recessions, all that. I mean, they don't say COVID, but, you know, you get the idea of what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and of course now, you know, Jordan has his thing going on now that they find out. So, and he has, and the absentee parent guilt.
Yes. And especially, you know, he has that guilt as a father. And it's interesting because, like, with the Clark Kent story, especially in this presentation of it, you know, he had his adopted parents, Jonathan and Martha Kent. Jonathan passes away when he's like a teenager. And then Martha only just passed away with him as an adult. And so the family dynamic in which he always had Jonathan and Martha is interesting because he, like you said, he's sort of they allude to this, that he's sort of been an absentee parent in the fact that he is Superman and he's gone all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And if you notice how, like, even with, you know, with Pa Kent or Jonathan Kent, depending on, you know, what you watch, how every, you know, it's sort of like Batman with his parents, that they always die, but there's always a different iteration of it. I believe in Man of Steel, I think he was an adult already.
He was already in his, like, early 20s.
Yeah, and now in this one, he's, like, sort of like a teenager-ish. Like, he looks like a teenager, so there's always, like, the different variations. And then the animated series, he's still alive.
Yeah. Now, Joe, are you partial to any particular version? Like, do you, because I know, like, Jonathan Kent passing away is something that's, it's from, like, Superman the movie in 1979, and then, of course, in 2013's Man of Steel. But then Superman's parents, Jonathan, Martha being alive, is something that we've had in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman from the 90s, and then also in Superman, the animated series, and even last year's most recent animated movie, Superman, Man of Tomorrow.
I guess in a way, like, it, not to say, well, him without the fucking, I feel like Batman, their parents' death makes them who they are. I mean, Batman, obviously, a little more because he's a kid when it happens.
Right.
But I feel like either way, like, the impact, like, that, like, I mean, for me, you know, I could definitely relate to him losing his father as an adult, you know, because I've had to do that. So I, you know, I get that. And so, like, I feel not, it's a sad part of the story, but it's a vital part of the story.
I feel, Joe, that you are so right about that, and I love that you said that it's a vital part of the story, because I feel like, again, like, whenever you're exploring mythology in any kind of form, but for the subject of this, if you're exploring mythology through comic books or through animation, there's this sort of understanding that thing, like the status quo always stays the same. So it's almost like Peter Parker's always going to have Aunt May, Bruce Wayne's always going to have Alfred, Clark Kent's always going to have Jonathan and Martha or Martha, and that nothing ever happens. But I feel like to have a mythology of something, you sort of also need to let it grow. And I like that in certain versions, Superman has both adopted parents, and other versions, he doesn't. You know, in a lot of them, Jonathan's the one that passes away first. And then now in this one, Martha passed away. And it's almost, you know, it's kind of like the tragedy of being human. It's the fact that those we love, you know, at some point, like, you know, at some point we're all going to pass away, and not to be morbid, but those we love, you know, of course, that's that cycle of life. And I feel like if you're a Superman fan, if you're honestly a fan of any of these characters, there is going to be, unfortunately, you know, and sadly, that moment that we all are going to have to go through. And to see a story or be able to look back on a story and see how the lead character, in this case, Clark Kent Superman, responds to that and how his world changes or doesn't change, I feel like there's inspiration to be taken in that. And almost it's kind of like that reassurance that in a lot of ways, again, you know, mythologically speaking, if Superman can go through this and if he can endure this, then so can I.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes them relevant to us, because more people mostly deal with death than happiness. Again, not to be morbid, but, you know, that's life. And to see superheroes who are supposed to be like invincible or all-powerful, whatever they may be, to see them go through this and know that they don't even have a solution for it, I think that so it resonates and it makes it relatable.
It does. And I know, bringing Zack Snyder into it, Zack Snyder's a big fan of Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey. And I know a lot of times people talk about like the difference between like Marvel and DC or DC and Marvel is that, you know, you have gods that are aspiring to be human. And then in the other tradition, it's humans that are aspiring to be gods or humans that become gods. And I feel like in a lot of ways, like if you look at the structure of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's very, you know, there's an idea to it that from the character arc from one to the last one, from like Iron Man 1, 2008 to Endgame, which was, I think, 2019, it is that arc of like men and women becoming gods, and they're almost like godlike figures by the end of it. But through the deconstruction of the comic book mythology, starting in 2013's Man of Steel, to Zack Snyder's Justice League, which comes out, it's almost that reverse opposite where Clark Kent, Superman Kal-El, is basically a god, but he's learning to become human. He's learning what it means to be human, and that humanity behind the character is something that I think we could all relate to even more. And it's one of the things why I love the deconstruction of a character, because for anybody that's ever complaining, well, Superman's just too good, or he's too perfect, or I could never be like, it's like, well, like, no, like, this is showing you that he also, you know, has flaws, and he also has struggles. It's almost like Nikos Kazantzakis's Last Temptation of Christ in a way, or even like the Martin Scorsese film Last Temptation of Christ, where, you know, there is this humanity there, but in the presentation it actually doesn't take anything away from the mythology. It only in fact adds to it.
No, it's true. And as soon as I finished the pilot episode, the first thing I thought of was the song from Fight for Fighting. I feel like epitomized the song. Because he went through every emotion that songs says he wishes he can go through.
Yeah. Well, also, if we're going to talk about music at all for any moment, I mean, we have to bring up the marvelous album from 2006, Sound of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Superman and music, there's so many things that reflect the music of Superman in really a wonderful way. And that brings us to another piece of news that I actually just came across while we were doing this episode. And so this is courtesy of Slash Film. During last week, it was revealed by Tom Holkenborg, aka Junkie XL, the film composer and co-composer of Batman vs. Superman with Hans Zimmer, that the Zack Snyder's Justice League film would be getting a soundtrack release and eventual release on vinyl. This is something that a lot of Zack Snyder's Justice League and just DC movie fans were excited about because, well, Danny Elfman replaced Tom Holkenborg on the theatrical cut of Justice League. Tom Holkenborg was actually supposed to be the composer on it, especially as he was a part of Man of Steel and he was a part of Batman versus Superman and the one who actually co-created the new Batman theme. So the new information that just came out is not only that continuing on that it's going to be one soundtrack composed of 54 tracks and 4 hours, but Holkenborg actually spoke a little bit about it. And to which he said, scoring Zack Snyder's Justice League has been a project like no other in my career. It's a 4.5-hour movie. I wrote so much music. The score is, at times, fully electronic, and at other times, fully orchestral. It included many global elements, rock, and even trap. And it was all written during COVID, so it was an incredibly hands-on, isolated, and intense experience. And I think that comes out in the score. This project demanded so much on so many levels, and all of us involved owed it to the fans and Zach to give it everything we had. Now, I'm super excited by that because I knew initially that the soundtrack was going to come out from this week, along with the fact that, you know, it's going to be 4 hours, 52 tracks. But I didn't realize that most of it was actually composed and written during last year, because I actually had the impression that Tom Holkenborg already had the score done or elements of the score done. So I think that that's actually going to be really interesting to listen to the album in an isolated way from the film and to see how the COVID experience has affected the movie. Because in a lot of ways, you know, you have all these characters. You have Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman, and it's about bringing them together through isolation or through their isolated experiences, how that brings people together. So if the soundtrack's emblematic of that whole experience, something that we can all collectively relate to, I mean, I'm even more excited now than ever to just listen to the thing.
I know. Once you said that he did it during quarantine, I'm like, that's a lot of time and a lot of time to like experiment and enhance stuff.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And so, Joe, have you listened to any of the two tracks that have already released from Zack Snyder's Justice League or not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So there's two tracks, The Crew at War Power. That was the first one that came out, very triumphant. And then there was a second, more quieter score, a track from the score called Mass Machine. But Slash Film, they added the whole track list. There's 52 tracks. I you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it's interesting because let's see. There's some Superman stuff. There's one track called Superman Rising Part 1, A Book of Hours, and then there's Superman Rising Part 2, Immovable. And so I'm really excited to hear that because I'm really, really excited to hear the return of Hans Zimmer's Superman theme, something that was absent from the theatrical version that Danny Elfman scored. But again, I think there's so many exciting things happening in the world of Superman, from Superman Lois currently airing on Tuesdays on the CW to Superman the Animated Series airing on HBO Max the week of the premiere of Zack Snyder's Justice League to Zack Snyder's Justice League itself. Joe, out of the three, Superman and Lois, Superman the Animated Series hitting HBO Max, and Zack Snyder's Justice League, what has you more, which one are you more invested in?
As of right now, I'm actually more invested in Superman and Lois. As much as I love, like, I mean, the Superman Animated Series coming to HBO Max and Justice League, because again, Superman and Lois is just a whole different dynamic of Superman. And that's and like, because Superman animated series, I mean, again, it's for kids, so of course it's going to be much happier, but that's how we know how Superman already is. We know how Clark Kent
is. But there were some dark episodes to Superman. There was a lot of death in it. The whole show ends on one of the darkest notes possible, where the world loses trust and faith in that who Superman is.
That is true.
The episode ends on an incredibly dour and depressing note.
No, I agree. But again, Mike, you get the essence of, like, because that's, you know, but Superman, like, that's how he is. Like, because it harkens back to the Fleischer episodes where Clark Kent runs around in the suit. Danger happens. He pulls the buttons, and there's the S. And everyone loved him for it. Whereas now with Superman and Lois, you know, you have this Captain Luthor, and you have Lois Lane's father with the military, and he has kids. So you really get that duality.
You do. Do you have any ideas or any theories of your own of how this might play out with Captain Luthor?
I don't know, because I was shocked at the fact that when they dropped that name and he took the helmet off, I'm like, then they give his backstory.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I have to say, I wasn't expecting Luthor at all to be on the show, and in the characterization of him now, I think that that's incredibly interesting and inspired, and just yet another example of how the show is taking the Superman mythology to an exciting new place.
And then you have Morgan Edge, who is like Luthor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Yeah, completely. Absolutely.
So it's completely flipped. They flipped the script on everything, really.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, even from the last episode in Heritage, where Lois Lane ultimately ends up quitting the Daily Planet.
Yeah. And I got to say, I loved Angus McFadden's guest spot as Jor-El.
Oh, isn't he great?
Robert the Bruce, Braveheart. He's still got it.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to bring that up because in the last episode that I recorded with Justin for Heritage, I mentioned Angus as Jor-El, and I mentioned Braveheart being one of, you know, the credits to his filmography. And so I love the fact that you actually just mentioned Braveheart right now, because, yeah, he was totally in Braveheart. And so it's exciting to see him now in the lineage and legacy of people that have played Jor-El.
Yeah, think about it. He joins like Marlon Brando and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great lineage.
Joe, when are you going to play Jor-El, or when are you going to be the voice of Jor-El? Or are you more going for like another character?
I think I'd make a good Jimmy Olsen.
I think so too. And Jimmy Olsen definitely has a thing going on with Supergirl, so I feel like that could luck out for you.
And if you go by the animated series, he had red hair.
He did, yeah, and he looks like you. So, Joe, I think that's an incredibly wonderful and happy note to conclude on. Are there any parting thoughts that you have on Superman and Lois and Zack Snyder's Justice League that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Just to say, you know, enjoy it, because there's so much fun happening in Superman. You know, enjoy it. You know, this is what the world needs right now.
That it does. That it does.
We need that hope.
We totally do. And what better character to embody that than with Superman? Joe, as always, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at JoeRed14 and on Twitter at Joe Gradensky. You can also find me through Universal Monsters Universe and Saturday Morning Superman Show on social media as well.
Yes, and you can find me at Sherbert Danny Jr. on Instagram. You could find me on Twitter at Reggie Mantle, uppercase III. As always, if you go to the show notes, you can find where to find me and Joe, along with following Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram and Twitter. If you happen to be listening to this on Podbean, CastBox,
Spotify, or Stitcher. Be sure to give the episode a like if you enjoyed it, and be sure to leave a comment if there's something that came up that we spoke about or something that maybe we forgot to mention. Leave us a comment so we could definitely like be aware of that to begin with, and also so we could mention it in the following week. We love all of your support, and everybody that's listening, you know, just that handful of you, it really means the world to all of us, to Joe and I, because we've just been having such a blast doing this. Recording over the course of summer 2019 was a real joy for me to get back to recording about Superman, but also in being able to do it with Joe, it meant a lot, because this is somebody who's a dear friend of mine, somebody that I've known for several years now, and my co-founder and partner in Universal Monsters Universe. So, Joe, it was so good to be doing this episode, and everyone, as always, be peaceful.
Yes, stay safe, everyone.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.